Picture a world where costs are down, profits are up, and customers are clamoring at your door. You're listening to Let's Get Up to Business from Jordan Law. Our interviews with business owners, service providers, and area experts can teach you how to create a world of success and profitability. If you're looking for an attorney to assist in your business formation, employment agreements, or other legal business needs, contact Jordan Law at 407-906-5529. You can also reach us on the web at jordanlawfl.com. Jordan Law, we protect you and your business.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jordan Osteroff with Jordan Law, and this is Let's Get Up to Business, our podcast turned Facebook live show where we interview business owners and business service providers and have them share their tips, tricks, and otherwise help you grow for success. As you know, Jordan Law is a business law and personal injury firm here in, for at least the next hour or so, sunny Orlando, Florida. It was pouring all morning, but we have a subtle respite. Joining me today is Dan Cote with Influitive, which is a very interesting idea. We're going to talk about how you prioritize long-term customer advocacy. So basically, how do you turn your customers into your raving fans? Is that a fair way to put it?
That's a great way to put it.
All right. So enough about me. You guys aren't here for me. You're here for Dan. So Dan, share some wisdom with us. Tell us your backstory.
Sure. Yeah, I'm Dan Cote. I've been in the Boston, greater Boston area my whole life. I still reside here. And I've been in high-tech marketing, working for small startups to big companies, public companies. I've started my own internet video marketing business way back in the day. And for the past little over a year, I've been with a company called Influitive. They're a Toronto-based SaaS provider of customer advocacy and online engagement software. And having a great time amidst, unfortunately, this COVID situation.
So, and that's SaaS, S-A-A-S, not S-A-S-S, for those who don't know. That's software as a service.
Correct. Sorry. Yes, that is. I'm not one to enjoy using acronyms without defining it. So thank you for doing that, Jordan.
Yeah, not a problem. I went through it the first time. Somebody was like, oh, yeah, it's SaaS. I was like, wait, what? SaaS is a totally different thing for especially for lawyers. You don't want SaaS. So I love the concept. So Influtive is talking about, allowing clients to become the advocate, gamifying the process, so turning it into something with a little bit of fun. So give me a little bit more on that. What was the beginning of Influtive? How has it grown? Where do you see people using it?
Yeah, absolutely. So Influtive was founded 10 years ago as a customer advocacy platform. And so they pioneered what the category of called advocate marketing. And really what it is, it's a process of scaling the engagement of your advocates and finding out who your best customers are, who your biggest supported fans are. And rewarding and recognizing them in ways to get the word out to help bring in referrals, references, and reviews, whatever that may be. So every company needs referrals and references, especially in this day and age, this digital age that we live in, where nobody's picking up the phone to talk to your salesperson to understand how you can solve their problem. They're first going out on the internet to understand who are the people, who are the companies in this space that might be able to solve my problem? And then what are my peers saying or thinking about that particular platform or product? And so they'll go to a review site like G2 or Gartner Peer-to-Peer Insights or TrustRadius to see, well, what are they saying? What are the ratings on a 1 to 5 scale? What are the positives? What are the negatives? And if they see what they like, if they like what they see, then they'll maybe pick up the phone and reach out or fill out a form to request a demo. So it's very much the whole buying process has changed, and people come much more educated to a sales conversation.
So I want to jump in for 1 second. So you talked about references and reviews. Can you help me? What's the difference between those two?
So a reference would be I am a happy customer of yours. I'm getting a lot of value out of using your product or service, and I'm willing to get on the phone and talk with a prospect and share with you my experience with that product. And so it's a one-to-one dialogue, and that's the reference component. And not everybody is willing to go to bat and do that for you. So you might have a list of those. And then reviews are online sites like G2 and TrustRadius, where they are aggregators of authentic customer reviews. And so they're willing to go to that site and fill out a form, just like if you went to Amazon and you were ready to buy a book or a product, you read those user reviews, people that have made that purchase. So they're willing to share their experience in a form that is searchable and readable by prospective customers.
And so I just want to chime in for a second. So I love my wife and I trust my wife, but even if she tells me like, oh, I just said, I tried this new place for lunch, it's great. I'm still going to go on Yelp. I'm still going to go on Google. I'm still going to look at the reviews. So I am 1,000% committed to exactly what you're talking about being the change in the customer experience.
Great.
So walk me through this a little bit. I mean, obviously, I don't think we need to waste time talking about the benefits of this. I mean, if you figure if every client becomes an advocate for you, then that means you're getting a new person on your marketing team with every new client, but I don't think that's reasonable to expect 100% buy-in. Am I wrong?
Yeah, in a perfect world, everyone is a raving fan of your company, but that's just not the case. And you might be your audience, and you may be familiar with a popular survey. It's called the Net Promoter Score, and it's really a scale of 0 to 10. How likely are you to recommend our company or a product to a friend? And if you're not a 9 or 10, then you're not considered a promoter. So you have detractors, you have passives, and then you have promoters. It's not unusual for a company that's doing really well to be anywhere from 10 to 30 to percent or so being promoters of your company. That tells you that you may have some detractors of your company, but you largely have a number of people that are maybe content with using your product or service, but they're not willing to go out of their way. But it's that 30% identifying who, or anyone in that 10 to 30%. How do you identify who they are in your customer base, and how do you mobilize them to take actions that are not only beneficial for you, but also rewarding for them?
So we're talking about, for the most part, best case scenario being about 30% of your clients being willing to promote you.
Well, I mean, it varies by industry, but I would say that's pretty much the norm. We just did a survey on the state of customer marketing, and it was coming in around 31, 32% or so. So I don't want to, if some companies might have a much higher rating than that, or a much greater, Zappos is in the news today, and they're, very, very much about customer satisfaction and customer. So you may have 50% of their customers might be promoters of Zappos, but you might be on the flip side and be down at 10%. But 10% of 1,000 customers is a pretty large number, right?
Oh, absolutely. And obviously, I mean, I know it's industry specific. We talk to a lot of our friends that do only criminal defense work. It's a lot harder for somebody to want to share an online review about how, you got them out of a DUI or something along those lines, as opposed to Zappos. Or the one that always strikes me is Chewy. I always find people love talking about their pets, and so Chewy goes out of their way for like a dog bone for the dog on their birthday or something,
They
which people
do.
seem happy to share.
They do. And I think people are happy to share because it gets back to a personal level. People make decisions and they want to justify and tout their decisions. So they're happy about sharing some of those news like Chewy because they want to. It's a very much the pet community is huge. We have a number of customers that are using our product for that purpose to have a community to share about best practices on pet ownership and hygiene and all that, and then also what are the good products that they may want.
So I want to flip it a little bit, and then we'll get back to this. So, like,
Sure.
let's say hypothetically, we being a business law and personal injury firm, so we have clients who may not want to talk about, the $1 million we got them after their car accident, may not want to talk about the multi-million dollar lawsuit their business is embroiled in. How do companies like that who don't have that obvious, easy advocacy, what can they do, or do they have to change at all?
I don't think they need to change. Well, I'd say this. It's all about customer engagement and continuous engagement, especially in this COVID era. We're experiencing that you need to have a pulse and regular conversations with your customers. And so you may have a promoter today, but they're not a promoter for life. One bad service or one bad call is going to turn them into a detractor, or they might just walk away from your business altogether. Or worse, they walk away and then they put some scathing comments on a review site that all of your prospective customers get to read for an unlimited period of time. So you need to engage with your customers, and it needs to be a two-way street. You're not going to have customers that are going to always share the results of the financial results of whatever your case in particular, but they might be willing to say, "I love the people behind Jordan Law. They're exceptional with customer service, and they're willing to do some social proof." So they might retweet some information. They might like this podcast, and they might go ahead and post that on their LinkedIn to see some value. So it's getting the word out sometimes in just a more subtle way.
So I think that brings up a great point then. Is there are there specific tips, tricks, or guidelines to building that relationship, or is that really just that human, genuine caring about other humans type thing?
Well, I think it is about there is some best practices on how you engage. Like as there's a recent Gartner and Forrester report that shares that nobody trusts marketing and salespeople, right? So they'd rather not hear from marketing and salespeople. They always take with their message with a grain of salt. So you should be figuring out ways to authentically reach out to your customers and have true conversations. Be true to what you're trying to share with them and what you the value not only for your company but for them. And there are tips that you can use as a program manager of our solution. And that's every company that does use our software. They also have a program manager. It's typically in the marketing department, but it could be in the customer success department or the customer experience department if it's a larger organization. And we have best practices and methodologies and templates that they can use to essentially stage those journeys and conversations. You can't ask for too much too early. You have to create a warm relationship and build that up before it's appropriate time to ask for something.
So walk me through, I mean, I guess obviously, like, every journey is going to be slightly different. The longer, I think the longer the life cycle is of your normal client, the easier it is to build a long-term relationship. But what are some of the things you see businesses doing to go above and beyond to build that relationship so that they can make those larger and larger asks, or at least just have that client for a longer period of time, you know, coming back as a raving fan?
Well, they'll use our product to essentially build out an online community. So you could have discussion forums that can be tailored based on your product or service use, your interests. So one of the first things that people do when they come in and create an Fluidive powered hub is to build out what we call activities. So you could fill out an activity, could be get to know you form. It might be just completing your profile. It could be understanding what are your interests, what are your desires, what are you trying to get out of a relationship with working with my company. And by getting more intelligence around what their interests are, you can start to present content and information that is tailored to them so that you're not asking for too much to them too soon. And you're also putting the right information so that they feel that you're listening to them. And so a lot of companies will love to be able to engage with their customers to do product feedback. You might have a new idea around a product or service and you're trying to engage in a beta program. So they'll often do some, put some information in front of them and get some feedback through a quiz or poll on what they think of that idea. And then that could be pulled into a more specific group around doing a beta program. Then you can use our platform for having ongoing discussions around that. So customers feel like they're influencing the roadmap of the company that's going to benefit them.
So correct me if I'm wrong here. I mean, obviously, you know, especially in 2020 where everything's gone more virtual, you know, how do you make a client look at this not as an obligation? I mean, is that based upon, are you rewarding them for joining this online community? Are you giving them the benefit of that insider knowledge? Are you, you know, how do you make them want to do it?
Well, I don't think you make them want to do it. I think they have to do it with their own, you know, through their own volition. So there's different levels of advocates. I may be an advocate of Jordan Law, but my interests lie in shaping your service offering. So when we say we gamify the engagement, we essentially it's you're earning points by consuming content or socializing or sharing content on social media or other forms. So I might be earning points towards a rewards catalog that might be, that'll be tailored specific to my interests, which would be, I want to meet with Mark Miller and understand the marketing strategy of the company, and I'd love to give feedback on it. That's what interests me. So that could be my reward in having a one-to-one meeting with someone on your staff. Or in a bigger company, it could be, I just want items that I just love your company and I love the swag and I want to get a shirt, I want to get a t-shirt, I want to do things of that nature. So I could be earning points towards that. Another advocate type could be a learner and they want to just get more learning and certification. They might be driving and earning points towards becoming certified on using a particular product. So I'd rather get free training. So there's any different levels that you have to appeal to them so that they understand that it's not just a one size fits all.
You're giving me flashbacks to my time as a child at like Chuck E. Cheese or something like that. You know, it's like, oh, I really want the Yeti mug branded with it. So I've got to do a ski ball for 20 minutes.
Right.
But it's fascinating to me because I think so many businesses miss this opportunity completely. I think so many businesses aren't seeing the long-term benefits of having, you know, turning clients into part of the marketing team, turning clients into raving fans. Are you seeing the same experience?
Oh, no doubt. And that's why you're seeing the rise of the customer marketing category. So marketing historically has long been about just driving top of funnel leads. How do you go do advertising and brand awareness to drive more leads into the funnel? And to an extreme case, they ignore what happens after the customer is signed on the dotted line. More and more what's happening is marketing has to take more ownership of what's happening throughout the customer journey and lifecycle. And that means what are the engagements? Because some of these, as you move to a SaaS world, every month and every year, there's a renewal, right? If this is no longer shelfware software where you could just sell some software and then expect, you know, set it and forget it and then go off and look for your next customer. That's not the case today. You have to win customers over, over and over all the time. So you need to engage with them constantly. And so I think that that's a key part of this is, especially now with COVID happening and so many in-person conferences being canceled, and who knows when the next time we'll see an in-person conference. Everything is a virtual event now. And so you need to engage with customers on a constant basis. And I think that's it's shining more light on customer engagement and customer advocacy, because it's so much easier to keep an existing customer than it is to go generate a net new customer.
Oh, absolutely. And yet you see business owners being unwilling to put any effort into getting those clients to come back or send other people as opposed That's to chasing right. new clients. So when you all with Influitive, when you're creating this online platform for them, I mean, is there also, there's also an engagement component really just of client to client, right?
Of just client to client. What do you mean by that?
Well, so like if you're a B2B business, so let's say, you know, let's say I only work with architects who may want to connect with other architects. So it through Influitive, is there also the ability on these platforms to get the clients able to talk to each other, you know, both as clients of the business?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, online communities have been around for decades and it's more prevalent than ever. And ideally, you would get peer-to-peer conversations, peer-to-peer help around using your product or service, because what happens there is now you've got people helping themselves, and that means less support tickets and lower costs on that end. So absolutely, if you can create a thriving community where peers help each other and then create and grow their own network, that's a win-win.
So are there... I guess I'm going to ask it this way, and correct me if I'm wrong here. So are there specific industries that see the best from this, or is it more like on a business culture level of having that engagement with clients that become the best ones to use Influitive?
We have a number of customers across the B2B and business to business and business to consumer spectrum. I'd say we're heavy on the business to business side of things, but predominantly we're, you know, our core strength is selling to B2B software companies. And you'd be surprised that network security companies are a big part of that. And you would, I'm a little surprised by it, because you would think that, you know, network administrators, security people, they're less of the ilk to want it to be engaging and go for points and engaging online through discussion forums. But it, in fact, it is the case. And many B2B companies will use this. But we're seeing business to consumer. There's a, you mentioned Chewy. There's another online site called Nom Nom, and they're using our solution as well. So it really runs the gamut of who uses our product. It's anyone who values engaging with their advocates.
So then let me ask the semi-personal question. What has been the most interesting reward that you've seen offered that was like, oh my God, this was such a great idea?
I would say it's probably a one-to-one, either a sit-down or a golfing outing with the CEO of a company. So someone would really, you know, value being able to have that, you know, rubbing elbows with the CEO of a company. So people will put a price tag on that, and they'll say that's value, very valuable, and they'll strive for that.
All right. Well, then with that, I'm going to throw it out there. If anybody wants to play golf with the CEO of Jordan Law, you pay for the golf and I'll show up. We won't have to gamify it too much.
Is that a win-win, Jordan?
I don't know. It depends upon how well I golf or how well the conversation goes. I don't know. We'll find out. I'm fascinated by it, because, you know, the more we go tech heavy, I think the more power you put into the client's hands, because of the ability to leave that online review forever, because of the interconnectedness of humanity, that like somebody shares your review to your page, but maybe they share it on their Facebook, and now you've got 150 new potential clients or thousands of them. You know, as we get into more of an influencer social media presence, the power of our clients to advocate for us, I think it's just exponential.
I totally agree. And I would say that it's all about the experience too. So everyone wants to have a good, positive experience. And I feel as though our platform facilitates that in an interesting and fun way, so that, you know, life can be a little bit monotonous sometimes. Business can be a little bit monotonous. So why not gamify certain things to make some, make the content that you're consuming or want people to the actions you want them to take, make it a fun and interesting way for them to do that. And I think that'll help your brand stand out.
So then let me change gear. Well, I guess as we get to the end of this, so I've got influtive.com listed up there. Any other contact information you want to make sure that we share with everybody here?
Well, I think if anybody wants to get a feel of what it would be like to go through an experience of, with Influtive and understand what the gamified process looks like, you could go to try.influtive.com, and that's for any non-customer to go there. It doesn't cost anything to sign up. You can start, you can watch my opening video on what it means to use an Influtive product. And you can hear some, read about success stories from our customers, and just learn about customer advocacy in general from this free hub.
Wonderful. So then let me change gears before I finally let you go. While I've got your brain here, I want to tap it. Other than, I mean, obviously, I think the biggest problem would be businesses having no interest in the customer or the client advocacy standpoint. Other than that problem, what other problems or mistakes or red flags do you see businesses making when it comes to, you know, empowering your customer to become an advocate, you know, to be that raving fan?
I think it's something you touched on earlier. It's about asking a little too much too soon. You have to be human and forge a relationship to warrant making asks to customers. So there has to be a give and take. And those are the most thriving communities where you balance putting some fun information in front of them with some serious information and serious asks, but you reward and recognize them for taking the actions you want them to do. But it has to be something that they value. It's worth their time to go into these hubs and take action that they want.
So then what are there any specific or consistent things you see businesses doing to build up that relationship to get to that ask? Or again, that really just becomes so specific, that human connection? I mean, is there, I don't want to say, is there a hack to it, but are there best practices to it?
Yeah, there. I'd say there isn't a hack to it. It's around understanding what part and what phase of the journey a customer is in and what engagement types you should have. So it is very, very much like a virtual networking session. Get to know each other, understand where, what interests they have, understand how frequently they want to hear from you, and how often they might be engaging. So it's really just, I think it's as simple as that. And putting, we have a number of templates in our library that people can use depending upon where they are in the journey. So it's really an architect of putting that together, leveraging these different things. And then coming in, if you're a customer of Influtive, you get to come into our VIP hub where it's just for customers, and you're learning from other customers who have very mature programs, and you can learn from the best from them on what works and what doesn't work.
See, that's freaking great. You get to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. I mean, you're putting people through. I love it. So then let me ask another, this is a horrendously selfish question. So obviously if you're B2B, if you've got that long-term relationship, it's much different because, like you talked about with the subscription, you're constantly reselling the client on staying with you. But if you're B2C, or if you're, you know, that one-off service, at the end of that time, or I guess what's the best time to ask for that online review? Is it at the end? Is it when the client's most happy? Is it 10 days after you're done working with them? I mean, is there a best practice there?
I wouldn't say there's a best practice on that, but what our system does afford everyone, every program manager, is that we have precise advanced targeting and personalization capabilities. So Jordan, if you visited try.influtive.com and you started exploring, and I noticed that you logged in 5 straight days, you completed 20 different activities, you gave a positive review or even just feedback through a poll or survey, I might assume, rightfully so, that you're a potential advocate of ours. And then I might make that ask. If I, through that same analysis and reporting capability, I see that you logged in once, maybe logged in 7 days later, you didn't complete half of the activities, I would not put in front of you an ask about going ahead and writing a review. That allows our customers to have that kind of precision to essentially make the most appropriate ask to the right audience.
I love it. I mean, it's just, I still don't think we have even really hit the tip of the data that we can collect, or at least the way to use that in a manner that's mutually beneficial. I mean, we're not talking about just using Facebook just uses the client's data to sell the right ads to you. You all are talking about it from the standpoint of, I want to give the client what they want, whether that's an ask or whether it's not, or what the ask is or what the information is. I mean, it's great to allow them to curate their own experience or journey. That's right. Or whatever. Okay. So before we go then, let me do these two last questions. The first one, is there anything else that we haven't talked about that we need to cover as we have this conversation about this prioritizing that long-term customer advocacy?
Well, I think it's our platform is certainly designed around advocacy, but it is around engagement of all your customers as well. So even though you may feel as though, well, I don't have enough advocates to warrant doing a program like this, you do need to engage with your customers constantly. And so it might be you might be a small software company and you're bringing customers in and you're doing onboarding and training and you want to have continuous learning so that they become knowledge experts of your product. And then consequently, they might graduate to become an advocate. So there's different, as I mentioned, there are different journeys and different stages, and you could have our solution to support that so that hopefully over time they become advocates.
Well, it's interesting. You mentioned I don't have enough advocates and need this program, but I feel like that's probably a business owner looking at this the opposite way of, I don't have a program in place to turn people into advocates, so I don't have advocates.
That's right.
That's not a cart before the horse, but a horse behind the cart or something. All right. So then the last thing, you know, look, we're reaching the end of 2020. I assume 95% of business owners have had the most difficult year, if not worst year, but certainly most difficult with everything going on. So is there any parting wisdom, a favorite aphorism or something that you want to share with as many people as possible to help, you know, help us get through the COVID times and back to, I don't want to say normal because I don't think normal exists anymore, but back to success, back to happiness, back on track?
Well, I don't know if I can impart that kind of wisdom, but I would say that it's all about stay close to your customers, be human, engage with them. Because I think over time, as businesses, we've lost touch with those customers and understanding why we're in business in the first place. And so I think it goes back to just being human and understanding what they value and understanding their pains and plights and trying to support them in any way you can. And I think that'll come back in spades for you.
Yeah. I want to jump on that for a second. You know, it's interesting to me because we talk to a lot of smaller business owners that want to have that less personal connection, that want to have that more corporate brand, that want to have that larger look. But then you look at Jake from State Farm, or Flo from Progressive, or the Geico Gecko. I mean, these are giant companies that have created a fictitious person to have that personal brand, because I think they're seeing billions of dollars in revenue go back to exactly what you just talked about, creating that relationship, even if it's with a fake person a fictitious persona. It's amazing to me that business owners just don't want to do it. They don't want to have that connection.
It is striking. And, you know, we do have customers of all sizes, but, you know, some of these big companies like Cisco and IBM and Adobe, they use our solution for precisely that. It's getting back to you've reached such a growth trajectory. And then over time, you know that you need to engage with thousands of people. And how do you do that? How do you do it at scale? So that's why online discussions and solutions like ours makes a lot of sense. You don't have to use Influtive. You should be using something to engage with your customers all the time.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Let's Get Up to Business from Jordan Law. We hope you've enjoyed the podcast and would consider sharing the show. We would also love an honest 5-star review through iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or whatever podcatcher you use. If you are interested in being a guest of the podcast, please contact producer Mark through email at mark@jordanlawfl.com. Use the subject line podcast guest in your email. Thank you. We look forward to speaking to you again soon.